In the 10th chapter of Numbers, we'll be dealing probably with the hardest part of the wilderness message. The realization why most people don't go to the land of rest. The realization that no matter how much we love the Lord, there's something holding you back from making the right decision that's going to change your life. And it isn't God. In the 29th verse, I will share with you, as Moses is dealing with a particular individual, his background and the problem that goes with it. Verse 29 says, "And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, who was Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel." Isn't that what we do all the time? First, you have to go into the land of rest. I have to know what it's like, and I have to have accepted this for my own life. And then I turn around and I say, come with us. This is a good place that God has given us. And the Lord will do you good, will do you good, and God will do you good. For he has spoken good concerning Israel. It's an invitation to everyone. Hobab is a Midianite. He's not even of the nation of Israel. He's one that was grafted in, or God wants to reach everyone. And the invitation goes out, and it's, come with us. God wants to do you good and will do you good. But then the standard answer, and this is what's keeping you out, verse 30, "And he said unto him, I will not go. I don't want to." Does that sound familiar, parents? I don't want to. Well, then what do you want? "But I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred." You see what the battle is? It's perpetually that way, not only in this church, but anywhere where they preach the truth. It's the battle between God the Father, who's paid for you, and your own parents, your own training, your own kindred, that no longer has a legal right to you, but still fighting over custody. They can't even pay child support. They have the nerve to want custody of you. And you have the silliness to consider it. Well, see, you need to understand why is it that this man would turn down such an offer? You would think this is an offer you can't refuse. And he said, I will not go. I don't want to go. Instead, I want to go back to my own habits, my own land, where I have some of my own kind, and to my own kindred. Those that think and act and talk and do like I do, where I'm comfortable, where I don't have to change. I want to go back where I can stay just the way I am, and people accept me the way that I am in the name of love. Why would this man do this? For the same reason you do. You're a Hobab, and your dad's name is Reguel, and you're a Midianite. Now understand how, I'm going to tell you how you got into this trap. Hobab means to be cherished. And you know how you were as a child, cherished. Cherish means to hold dear and to show love for, by affection, to take good care of and to protect. You could do no wrong, could you, Hobab? Everything was so, you were just so perfect. You were cherished. And then you were told God is love, and you came to church and you found out that the man is treating you and talking to you like if you just crossed the border. And have no rights whatsoever, and you don't. It's a different kind of love, isn't it? The one that deals with you as an adult and gives you the ability and the knowledge and wisdom to get up and do something for yourself. And you're used to being cherished. You're used to having everything done for you. That's your dad. See, the problem is he's a Hobab. And it's because his dad is a Reguel. And they're both Midianites. Now let me tell you how this Habab person, who's so cherished and so loved, and nobody ever told him anything was wrong, and everything is perfect, and he's so loved and so protected, let me tell you what happens. How did he get that way? Well, how did he get that way? Well, his dad's name is Raguel. Now, Raguel has a lot of good meanings. One good meaning, the rest of them, take them or leave them. The first meaning is friend of God. Oh, that's so nice. See, we're preaching to Christians now. I know you love God. I know that you're a friend of God, and I know that God's your friend. But that's, here comes the problem. See, that's the good part. Here's the problem. It also means friend of an associate, friend of a brother, friend of a companion, friend of a husband, friend of a lover, friend of a neighbor, friend of everybody. Why? Because he's cherished. He can do no wrong, so nobody else can either. So you see where the conflict starts? You love God. You come and hear this and you agree with it. But then you go home and you agree with your associate. Then you go out and you agree with your brother, your companion, your husband, your lover, your neighbor, or anybody. It's got you into that mentality where all you can hear is good about yourself and all you can say is good about others. You sit there and lie to one another. Isn't it any wonder that a God that would say you must stop doing that that you like because it's killing you and you don't like that? Because nothing's ever been taken away from you. As a matter of fact, the way you got cherished is they gave you things that you liked. The fact that they come back to kill you later on, you win some and you lose some. But in the meantime, this man is torn. He is a friend of God. You do love God. That's not your problem. But you're also a friend of your associates. And here's the problem. You say, well, isn't it good to be friends with everybody? I'll let you judge. Friend means a person who is on the same side in a struggle. Now, how can you be on the same side of the struggle with all of these people? They obviously do not all agree. Friend means a supporter or a sympathizer. There's no way to support God and your associates, your brother, companion, husband, lover, neighbor, and everybody else. Because obviously they all want something different. And at some point in time, you are required to make a choice. And that's when you get upset, because this is the first time you've ever been told, choose. Choose, thou hypocrite, do one or the other. You're going to be a friend of God? Then you can't be a friend of all your associates, your brothers, your companion, husband, lover, neighbor, family, lineage. You can't do it both. Friend also means one who is supporting, is helpful, and favorable. Well, that leaves me out. On your best day, I wouldn't support you. Listen, I like me, and on my best day, I find nothing in me worth supporting. What chance do you think you have? See, so to be a friend, to be on the same side of the struggle, you have a choice to make. And it's either the Word of God, the truth, or it's all these other conflicting tensions and drawings that we all have in our lives. So first of all, this Raguel, your father, who chose to teach you to believe that you're cherished and that you can do nothing wrong, is a friend of God. He makes you a friend of God. But let me tell you what the word God means. I didn't say the name for God. The name is Jehovah. The name is Jesus. The name is Prince of Peace. I'm telling you what the word God means. It means one you call out to. A male deity. Now, when push comes to shove, and when you have a choice to make, who do you call out to? That's your God. It also means a person who is deified or excessively honored and admired. So see, this man was a friend of God. But there be God's many and Lord's many. Now the only way you can be a friend of God, a friend of the associate, a friend of brother, companion, husband, lover, neighbor, and everybody, it has to be this kind of God, doesn't it? It has to be a person that you've deified, that you excessively honor and you excessively admire. You've made an idol out of them. You can't have two gods. No man can serve two masters. You're going to spit in one's eye and you're going to obey the other one. And let me tell you something. If you have difficulty with being a friend of everybody, there's only two ways to resolve this conflict. You can choose Jesus Christ, the truth, and make him your God, and then you won't care what the associate thinks, or the husband, or the companion, or the lover, or the neighbor, or your father, mother, cousin, uncle, or your dog either. Or you can deify a person, choose that individual, and then you got to worship everybody. Then you have no authority over anybody. And this man says, look, I don't want to go. This land of rest where we don't have anything happen wrong, everything is good. Why would I want to go there? See, even if we think about it, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Look what's holding him back. His name is Hobab. He's cherished. He wants to be taken care of and he wants to be protected. Now, if there's one thing we don't do around here is protect you. Because you need protection from yourself, and how can I do that? Now he's a friend of God, but he's also the friend of an associate, or to associate, or an associate. An associate, or one who you associate with, means to connect in the mind. In other words, if what I'm saying doesn't connect with your mind, this is not your God. So whoever talks to you and gets you to do what they want you to do, that's the one you associate with. That's the one you're friends with. So if they want to convince you of something that isn't in this word, convince you of something you've already tried before and didn't work, and you connect in the mind, hi, Hobab. How's your dad, Raguel? So you've hooked up in the mind again, and that's the only way they can get you. They got to talk you into it again, don't they? And if you think about it, haven't you heard that song before? And didn't you dance to it before? And after you broke both hooves, and now you're healed again, you're thinking about it again. It amazes me what we do with our minds. Because we hook up, we connect with the mind. But you also, if you're a Raguel, you have to be a friend of the brethren. Friend of brother. Brother means to be related by having a parent in common. Everybody knows that. Did you know brother also means a close friend? And it also means to be related. It means a fellow member of the same organization. So you see, when you try to be a friend at work, and a friend here, and a friend everywhere, and agree with everybody, you're showing Raguel, your daddy. You want to be cherished, and the only way to be cherished is to cherish. In other words, you have to walk around lying to one another. They're lying to you, you're lying to them. You've all been through this before. You already know what's going to happen. But they're still brothers. But then you also have to be the friend of a companion. I like this part. Did you know what companion means? Bread fellow or messmate? And messmate means somebody you eat with. Now there's people that come to this church and don't eat with us. They spit a lot. And I, for one, am not the kind of a preacher that will take a spoon and scoop it up off your chin and put it back in your mouth. You want to spit it out, spit it out. What do I care? I got mine. You can be a messmate or you don't have to be a messmate. It's up to you. But companion is also means a thing that matches another in sort or color, experience, or behavior. In other words, you know why you want to be the friend? You know who your companions are? the ones that are just like you. Companion also means one of a pair or one of a set. But you're not done there. Now you have to be, ladies, listen to this. Now you have to be the friend of the husband. And husband means a householder, a manager of a household, one who manages economically and conserves. In other words, he's the one that sees to it how the bills are paid, how much savings there are, where they are. He's supposed to take care of things. Now, how can you do that if he's always broke? Doesn't know how to receive anything from the Lord. What does he manage, air? It's crazy. You can't manage unless you've got something to manage. And God's the only one that can give you anything. In other words, ladies, talk is cheap, isn't it? You're tired of hearing what this guy is going to do someday. I mean, get down to business and do it or shut up, one of the two. You're driving her crazy. It also means to be a friend of a lover. And a lover is a person who greatly enjoys some specific, specified thing. In other words, people that are into addictions. You thought lover meant, hey, baby. No, you know what lover means? Someone who's so hooked on the taste of a specific thing, they can't do without it. That is a lover. It means addiction. It means someone who's hooked up by taste, by enjoyment, sensually, emotionally, through the senses. That's what a lover is. It's someone that can't deal with you with truth. They have to deal with you emotionally. They'll try to control you by crying in your face. If that doesn't work, they'll get you to cry in theirs. And lo and behold, the best thing is cry in each other's face. Two lovers. Two people that are sensual and emotional and don't have reason one in their mind of what they're doing. They just cry. The best kind of lovers when they stand across from each other in the kitchen and throw cups at each other. Do you know those are lovers? They're dealing with something emotionally. Or they'll stand there and cuss each other. Well, you're one. Well, your mother's another one. Well, your grandma. They're lovers. Do you ever see two strangers do that to each other? That's crazy. Only lovers do it. Then you have to be also the friend of a neighbor. Neighbor means a person who lives near you. One who's close by association. And if that isn't bad enough, it also means, raguo means friend of others. In other words, if we haven't caught everybody in this one, other means everyone that isn't God, an associate, a brother, a companion, a husband, a lover, or a neighbor. Now you are stuck, man. What a people-pleasing wimp you have to be. And you know what your problem is going to be? Keeping your lies straight. Because you tell this one thing, and then the next day you're telling the other one something else, and sooner or later they're both going to hear you together and say, what are you talking about? Then nobody likes you. And you're not cherished anymore, and that's when you go in the tank. That's when your emotions go right down the chute. Why? Because, Habab, your daddy's name is Raguah. And if that wasn't bad enough, you're a Midianite too. Oh boy. See, the Lord doesn't pull any punches. Now, the fact that Habab is the son of Raguel is just a reality. You can break away from that. You know what the problem is? He's a Midianite. If you'd stop being a Midianite, you could break off from Raguel, even though you're still a Habab. Even though they're still your parents, even though those habits are still there, what keeps you together is that you're a Midianite. Midianite means patron. Midianite means one who is the son of his country and the son of his descent. In other words, someone that just will not put down mom and pop. They will not put down their tradition, their habits. They just won't do it. Now, they do come to the Lord, and listen, they're very loving people. They make great Christians in church. They'll hallelujah with the best of them. They'll do whatever's required with the best of them because they're friends of God. The difficulty is they're also friends of companions, associates, lovers, husbands, everybody. And how did you get trapped this way? Patron, Midianite. Midian, besides being a patron, one who's the son of his country and the son of his defense, also means a brawling, contentious person who settles everything with contests, quarrels, discord, and strife. But they start out as patrons. Now, patron saints are good people, you know that? As long as you do exactly what they want you to do. You cross a patron, you might as well go see Allstate, because you're not in good hands once you cross the patron. Patron means a patron saint, a protector and a defender. It comes from the word pater, which is father. And I like this word patron because, you know, there's a lot of you are living under a patron right now. You know, in ancient Rome, let me tell you what the word actually means, the word patron. Its derivative, its basic sense, its origination came in ancient Rome. And what it means a person who had freed his slave, but still retained paternal control over him. That's what patron means. In other words, you're no longer my slave, but I still control you. I have paternal control over you. That's what patron means. Now, think about this. When you were a child, your patron fed you, clothed you, housed you, and had paternal control over you. No problem. However, dummy, look what's happened to you. Now you are grown. You feed yourself plus a few other people. You clothe yourself plus a few other people. You house yourself plus a few other people. But your patron saint still retains paternal control over you. See what a genius you are? Do you see what a deal we have as parents, as patron saints? Do you see this game that we play on each other? When I was feeding and clothing my children, I had a right to tell them what to do. I had a right to expect, and I did. But not anymore. I don't have paternal control over them anymore. They're feeding and clothing and housing themselves. Turn loose, Mom. Dad, get turned loose. You don't have that right anymore. And for those of you that are now feeding and clothing and housing yourselves, how silly you are to still have them have paternal control over you. On top of that, you come and you pray and you say, thank you. And you say, thank you, God, in Jesus' name for this food. Thank you for the job. Thank you for health. You're lying. Because when push comes to shove, Mom and Dad still pull your strings. You're still a puppet, howdy doody. But you do come and you pray right. And you recognize that the one that's feeding and clothing and housing you now is the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself. He has paternal rights now. But you've got some people in your life that are illegally controlling you yet. Now some would say, but I haven't seen my parents for years, or they're gone on to be with the Lord. I don't care. That same spirit is in everybody that you meet. You're attracted to people like that. And what's the first thing they want to do? Control you. And how? Paternally. They want control. You try to lead them and see what you get out of a patron. You see the taillights as they leave. That's about it. They will send you a bill, though. See, they want to control. And the reason they want to control you paternally, because they're controlled paternally. But they all claim the Lord, don't they? Oh, thank you, God, for every crumb. Yeah, I mean, they won't eat a high-hole cracker without thanking the Lord for it. But then you stop and see who really has control. It will always be the old habits, the old culture, the Midianite. See, that's what gets us hooked into this thing. You cannot control who you were born to. You cannot control how they trained you. But until you break away from being a Midianite, a patron, one who needs a patron, and one who patronizes. And let me tell you what's wrong with having a patron. You become one. And then you look at your children and you think they are the most amazing, wonderful things, and every other kid is wrong. And the more they grow, the more you lie about them. And the blinder you become. And one patron begets another one, and before you know it, the house is overrun with orchid and couldn't get rid of that group. See, there's a real irony here. In that you accept from God all the blessings. You accept from Him health and peace of mind. We thank Him every day in this church for raises in our jobs, for material blessings, things that equate and turn into food and clothing and housing. And then what do? You slap Him in the face when it comes time to make a choice between Him and your paternal parents, and you still keep acting the same way. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And here's the irony of the whole thing. God's not mad at you. He says, come on. I'll do you good. I will not. I don't want to go. Why? Because he's a Midianite. It's paternal control that's keeping men and women in this church Midianites. Paternal means of or like or characteristic of a father. But the base word, the verb, means paternalism. And paternalism means the system of governing or controlling grown people in a manner suggesting a father's relationship with his children. Now let me tell you something. If your mom and dad looked at you cross-eyed and you became a bowl of jello when you were a kid and you still do it, that's paternalism. If you're afraid to tell them the truth that you have another father, if you're afraid to deal with this, that's paternalism. And that's how they've got you trapped. You're a Midianite. And you say, well, I can talk to my parents that way. You can't talk to anybody that way. That's why everybody in the world that has that spirit finds you. And then they feed off of this cherished attitude that you have, and they all want to be your patron saint. They want to guide you, but they don't want to feed you now. They don't want to give you zilch, but they do want control. Let God pay the bills, and I provide the thrills. See, every lover in the world says that. Yeah, sure. You pay the bills, and baby, I'll provide the thrills. That's sick. It smacks of paternalism. Listen, when your parents, when that cultural, traditional habit that you have still causes you to act and feel like you did as a child, there's something seriously wrong with you. And Moses is here to tell you, listen, I will come with us. I will do you good. For God has spoken good concerning Israel. So if you come with us, you'll get the benefit as well. That's what the whole message is. Come with us. Let's go to the land of rest. Let's change. Let's start paying reverence and letting the Lord be Lord. But you can't let the Lord be Lord as long as you have a patron and a paternalistic relationship with anybody. I don't care if it's your parents or not. If it's the same spirit, you're still being under the yoke and bondage of paternalism. And that's what makes you the other part of the word Midianite: brawling, contentious, quarrelsome, dealing with discord and strife. But some would say, but I never argue. I never brawl. I'm never contentious. I'm just such a nice guy. I know better than that. Because every time things don't go your way and this paternalistic thing doesn't work, oh, maybe you're such a sweet person and you don't let it out, but inside of you there's such a battle going on. They're brawling, contentions, discord, and strife with inside of you. That's worse, but it's there. One day you're crying, the next day you're on Mount Olympus. One day it's Mount St. Helix, and the next day it's, what's the other one up here? Saint Helix or Virgin Helix or whatever that is up there. I don't care what it is, whatever it is. I mean, it's up one and down the other. You remember what it was like at home? When the parents were in a good mood and they were getting along, everything was fine. And as soon as the dishes start flying, your life went down the tubes too, didn't it? And you know, it was better for dishes to fly than words. I still have some of the words ringing in my ears because my grandfather, you didn't fool with that man too much. You know, even now that I think about it, I remember that when people used to start, he's a very quiet man. But when he went off, it was just like, where did this, you know, he just snuck up on you. I thought he was cool, and all of a sudden I see this mushroom cloud in the kitchen. And I say, man, I gotta get away from this radiation. Volatile. But he had a long fuse. But I tell you, I've told some of you this before. This man had a belt that stretched from here back to... It seemed that way when I was little. He could reach me from it, and this thing was trained. Under the table, whap, under the chair. It didn't matter. There was no way to get away from that. It found you everywhere that you... It seemed that way. And he used to hang it up, and I swear it looked like it was all the way down and across. And it seemed like it would even curl up and had rattles on it. Of course, I was just a little kid, and when I saw it afterwards, it was just a regular... It just seemed so much. Paternalism. See, those are hard thoughts to get out of your mind, as long as you're a Midianite. As long as you have a sense of duty towards someone that you have not... See, you never belonged to them. God gave you to them so they could train you, not cherish you. You belong to God in the beginning, you still belong to God. But there's some people that are paternalistically stealing and kidnapping you away, and there's a custody battle going on. Now in Numbers 10:30, I'm going to tell you what the problem is and the control that you don't exercise. Moses is speaking, and Hobab is speaking, and he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. The word will, I will not go, means to wish and to choose. I wish not to go, and I choose not to go. Don't tell me you can't. Don't tell me you don't know how. You don't want to. You choose not to. You wish not to. Now, all the other excuses are just that, excuses. Will means the power of making a reasoned choice or decision. I choose not to make a reasoned choice or decision. Will means the power of controlling one's own actions. I choose by my own action not to go. I choose by my own action not to turn this over to God. Will also means the desire, the attitude, the disposition, the purpose, and the pleasure. I choose. My attitude is I don't want to go. My desire is not to go. My disposition is I'm not going to go. My purpose is I don't want to. And my pleasure is I don't want to. I'd rather go the way I've been going. And the last part of the definition of the word will means to prefer. So see, every time you come to the Lord asking for help to do something that you already chose not to do, is it any wonder that prayer never gets answered? You think God is dumb? See, he already knows, and now he's making you aware. You are where you're at because you chose to be there. Now, all you have to do is look at it. Was it a good place? Then why are you going back? And if it's a place you're in now that's not a good place, why are you staying there? Well, I choose to. It's my pleasure, it's my purpose, it's my attitude, it's my disposition. Everybody is exactly where they want to be. Then he said, look, I choose not to go. Not means in no manner and to no degree. It means a refusal. Now, is this frightening you a little bit to help you to understand that everything that you haven't said no to, you are actually telling God in his face, I don't want to. I refuse to. It gives me no pleasure to do what you want me to do. I want to be a friend and an associate of Raghul and all the other associates and friends and everybody else that go. I don't want to go. In no manner, to no degree, I don't want to do it. If you think about it, this is really what the man is saying, and this is something we all say. I have the power to make a reasoned choice and control my actions. I can say no to God, and God will not force me to do anything because God loves me, that's why. And you know that's true. But here's the difficulty. See, you get lulled into a trap because you know that God will not force you to do anything. You miss a very important point. Satan is no gentleman. He'll put things in your life that will addict you, that will leave you no choice. Things that you've been trying to turn loose of if you can't. Why? Because they give you no choice. They don't ask you for your opinion. They don't say, please come with me. They say, here, it's free. And after you get hooked, no more free. So you make a wrong choice. You think that everybody's going to treat you like God does. You think because you can say no to what's right and get away with it, and you can. Love requires it. You think you can turn around and say yes to what's wrong, and then anytime you want, change your mind. No, you can't. Any habit that you develop becomes obsessive. It controls you. People will spend millions of dollars to try to get out of a habit that was free to get started. There's every kind of clinic in the world to try to help people stop. Did you ever see a clinic to help you to start smoking? Or to start drinking or start cussing? You'd go broke if you opened a clinic. Like, it's always free to get in. See, because there's free choice under God. You can say yes and you can say no. But once you get hooked on the wrong, you can't say no anymore. So you see, you need to understand that the power that you have to make decisions is restricted to God only, because God is love. Your parents are not love. Your tradition is not love. Your culture is not love, and neither are your habits. They're obsessive. They're habitual. They're overriding. They give you no choice. If you don't do it, you get DTs. You get withdrawal symptoms or dirty looks or threats. We're going to come and bomb your house if you don't do what we tell you to do. We've given you the best years of our life. Look up the word given. You haven't given anything if you're trying to collect. Now he said, look, I will not go, but I will depart. Depart means to cause, to make go. I choose not to go right, so something is going to force me, make me go the other way. You think you're going to stand still. How silly you are. You either follow God or somebody else is going to make you go the other way. You're going to depart. Now, what does the word depart mean, really? It means to divide, to go away from something, to leave, to turn aside from something. I choose to turn aside from God and go back to my own kindred. The last part of the word depart means to die. You ever heard the expression, we're here to honor the dearly departed? It means, basically, we're here to honor the dearly dead. Well, I have no intention of... If I have eternal life, how can I depart? You can't. Now I'm going to close it down with this. Here's the problem. He wants to go back to his own kindred. My own kindred. He says, I will depart to my own land and to my kindred. Here's the whole battle. My kindred. It means my family, my nativity, my lineage. He said, I'm going back to my lineage, mine, where I came from. Well, let me tell you where you came from, and maybe you won't want to go back. Lineage means direct descent from an ancestor. I'm going back to the way mom and dad taught me. But lineage comes from the word line. Why is it so hard to break loose? You fight and you twist and you squirm, but they got a hold on you. What is this hold they have? Comes from the word lineage, which comes from the word line. They've got you on a line. And what does line mean? Well, first of all, it means descendants of a common ancestor. That's the line that you come from. And that sounds good, but let me tell you the flip side of the definition of line. A long, fine, strong cord with a leader, a sinker, and a hook. That's your line. What is this? Why can't you get away? They got you on a line. Now, a line can't work as a line unless it has a sinker, a leader, a sinker, and a hook. And that's why you can't get away. You've gone fishing. Only you're the fish, sucker. You don't understand that you're hooked. And I'm going to tell you how you get hooked. What it takes to catch a fish. First, you need a leader. And a leader is a person that leads, directs, or commands, a guiding head. So see, all lines, the lineage, has to have a leader. There has to be a pharaoh, doesn't there? There has to be someone that controls and dominates. That's the leader. Now, in order for that person to be a leader, he needs a sinker. See, this line, this fishing line, won't work unless it's got four things: a leader, a sinker, a hook, and bait. We'll talk about the bait in a minute. So you see, suffice to say, we need a leader on this line. We need someone that's going to get upset and let you know they're upset and let you know that they deserve this and that. They're the leader, recognized in their own eyes. And then there has to be a sinker. And a sinker means a person or a thing that sinks. How do they become your leader? They got to sink you. What does that mean? To diminish or decrease in strength. Who do you think you are? You'll always be my son. You'll always be my daughter. I'll always be your mother. I'll always be your father. That may be true, but you are no longer my spiritual head. You no longer tell me what to do. I have a father in heaven, and he said, call no man on this earth father. And that includes you, pops. See, they have to diminish you or decrease you in strength. That's what sink means. They cannot stand for you to be the head and of your own home. See, they're the head of their home, but they want to be the head of yours too. Sink also means to diminish or lower in value or amount. That's why they're grandparents and you're only a parent. And you're their child, but your children are their grandchildren, so they're higher. They're higher in value than you are. Let me tell you what else sinker means. And this really tells it all. To sink means to lose your position. That's the way the sinker works. It has to take away your position. And I don't care if it's coming through your wife, through your children, or through the original parents, you've lost your position. And you're just about to the hook now, but see, it looks good at the leader part. You can handle that. And the sinker, well, you know, after all. But see, at the end of that sinker, the next thing you're going to run into is a hook. But we're not done with the sinker yet. To sink also means to lose prestige, to lose dignity, to lose one's courage or strength, to be defeated, to be undone, and to be ruined. See, they really want to make you feel inferior to them. And you're a grown man, a grown woman, with every bit the responsibility that they had. They don't have it anymore because you're all gone. But somehow, and listen, this is what amazes me about these people. And I'll sit down and talk with them anyway. Say, how can you consider yourself an expert in raising child? I happen to know your son or your daughter. They're jerks. They got every problem in the world that there is. Their marriage is, everything is wrong with them. And that's the result of your expertise? Somehow you lost track of that, didn't you?